Hi, Mr. Neal.
Oh, hello. Who's here?
It's Laura, Mr. Neal.
Well, hi, Laura. How you doing?
I'm well. Yeah, happy Father's Day.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I'm still in the process of getting set up over here.
That's quite all right.
A late phone call. So let me just do some stuff here, and I'll be right back.
Quite
I'm going to stay
right.
on the call, but I'll be right back.
Understood.
Cells
I'm
on
going
board.
To stay, Mr. Neal.
Thank you, Neal. Thank you, Neal, for all you do.
And thank you also, what is
Darryl?
It, Shop, Mr. Darryl. How are you? Happy Father's Day.
Oh, I just had your name and I lost it just that quick. Give it to me again, please.
Laura.
Laura. Thank you, Laura. Thank you for the work that you do. Your thoughts are, I got a new phone and it's like.
That's okay. You're not alone. We're all in the same back. Not now. I'm just overwhelmed, but I initially had in my head, I don't know if I wrote any idea, Mr. Darryl. I'm not going to chat. I'm going to wait until Neal come back, but since I have your attention, I just want you to know one of the ideas that I came up with was to actually, your project, what is that, Shop?
Good Shop.
Good Shop.
G-O-O-D-S-H-O-P.
Right.
G-O-O-D-S-H-O-P.
I'm sorry?
G-O-O-D space S-H-O-P, and address is GOODSHOP.com, and I usually ask people to do /about because that explains the whole thing.
Okay, right. I had jotted it down, but I had at one point when I was doing a compilation of ideas for WBAI,
yes.
I had actually outlined something for Good Shop in terms of, and this is something we can return to now because I know we're in a desperate state of emergency, but it's an idea that I thought about how you could make that concept more succinct. Whereas people, and I apologize for the and whatever, where people would not have to flush out the idea, taking an approach that most ad people would take. But let's put that to the side. I just want to share that idea with you. I think it needs to be flushed out. It needs fine tuning, and maybe as soon as someone hears it, they can approach it and tune into the concept and make use of it. But let's talk about that another time, okay, Mr. Darryl? I just wanted to share that thought with you. It was a concept that I came up with. I don't know if I outlined it somewhere. I'm just, a bit overwhelmed now with everything like everyone else.
All right, guys, I'm back at the meeting. I had to take care of a couple of things. I need to start jotting down everybody's name who's at the meeting. And so far, Laura is here. Let me get her name down.
And Mr. Darryl is here, Neal.
Oh, yeah.
Laura, would you do me a favor, and I'll explain it to you later. Would you just call me Darryl and refrain from the any English honorifics if you can, and then I'll explain to you why. And the other thing is, the suggestion is that rather than looking at our challenges as catastrophes, it's helpful most times to look at them as challenges to be conquered because the answers are here.
Oh, of course. And I agree with you. Challenges are lessons. They make you better prepared. But I didn't use that convenience.
Hello, Neal.
Yes.
This is Jack.
Okay, Jack is here.
Denise is here. I was just listening to the conversation.
Miami.
So, yes. Yes, Michelle Obama, First Lady.
Hang on, everybody.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're at the meeting now. So So it's hang on.
I'm trying to get everybody's name who's at the meeting. The last person I heard was my aunt. Let me get her name down. All right, so far I have Laura, Daryl, Jack, Denise, my aunt. Who else is at the meeting now? Anyone else at the meeting who wants to identify themselves?
You mentioned Denise.
Hello?
Oh.
Hi, this is Gloria Gio. Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes. Yeah. Who is this?
This is Gloria Gio. G-U-I-L-L-O.
Fantastic.
I'm the vice chair.
G-U-I-L-L-O?
Yeah.
Gloria, yeah.
Okay, thanks for coming. Anyone else at the meeting?
How long is the meeting usually? I'm not sure if I could stay the whole time.
3:30.
Yes.
Yeah, I probably would stay the whole time. But thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, stay as long as you can.
Thank you.
Who else is at the meeting now?
This is Bessarine.
Bessarine. Okay, thanks, Bessarine.
You're welcome.
Anyone else at the meeting?
Hello, Neil. Good afternoon.
Yeah, Tom, you're here. Okay. Anyone else at the meeting who wants to identify themselves? All right, so far we have Laura, Daryl, Jack, Denise, Mayette, Gloria, Bessarine, and Tom. Is there anyone else at the meeting? All right, so as far as I know, Mr. Henley is going to be coming as a guest speaker at around 1:15. Does anyone have the time right now?
1:06.
1:06.
Right.
Mr. Henley, are you on the meeting now?
This is Andre Ward.
Andre Ward?
Is this Arthur Schwartz?
No, Andre Ward.
Andre, your name is who again?
Hi, Andre. Yes.
On the count?
On the count.
Yes, correct. Good afternoon, everybody.
Welcome, Andre. Thank you for joining.
So, Andre.
Yes.
Okay. And what was your last name again?
Ward.
W-A-R-D.
Okay, thank you.
All
right. Well, I'll tell you what, guys. We're going to proceed with the agenda here.
Hey, hello.
Hello. Who is this?
This is Mitchell Cohen.
Oh, hi, Mitch.
Mitchell.
Thanks for coming.
Sure.
What am I looking for?
All right, so
what button do I press to mute?
To tell you the truth, I don't know on Maestro if you can mute. I don't think that you can.
Yes,
I think it might be star 6.
Kind of Neil, I believe it's 6. You can mute on any platform. You have to be able to mute because it could be extraneous noise and background noise. I believe it's 6.
I think it's star 6.
All right, Mitch, try 6 or star 6 and see if it works.
All right, I just did it. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Great. Let's see, there's another way. I'll find it.
All right. Okay. All right, next on the agenda is a timekeeper. Who can do that?
I can do that. I was just on the phone with one of the members. Yes.
Okay, all right.
Unless
Denise, you'll be timekeeper for today.
Yeah.
C on the agenda is to read the agenda. So I'll do that now. Well, actually, I haven't done A yet. So let's do A, which is roll call. Laura Andrews?
Present.
Denise Joyce? Denise was just
here. Yes, here. I'm on the line with a couple of members. They're calling me. Okay, thanks.
Okay. Tom Murata?
Here.
Daryl McPherson?
Present.
Bruce Greif?
Here.
Mayat? Mayat? Mayat was... Okay, Mayat is here. Bezerine?
I'm here.
Jack?
Present, Jack DePalma.
All right, so we did the roll call, and we got the timekeeper established. So now C is to read the agenda. I'll read the agenda right now. A is roll call. B is timekeeper. C is read the agenda. D is guest speaker. E is CAB announcements. F is read the minutes for the May meeting. G is tabled issues. H is programming and significant station policy. I is other issues. J is repeat announcements. K is the next meeting date. And L is adjourn the meeting no later than 3:30, if at all possible. So, Mr. Henley, are you at the meeting yet? I do not hear Mr. Henley. So we will continue with
the Queen. But
who is this? All right, we will continue with the agenda. E is CAB announcements. I'll go through them right now. All right, the code of conduct for a CAB meeting is that we ask that everyone abide by the stack order assigned and that we maintain and observe our three-minute comment period. We must maintain the agenda order, and conversation must stay on the agenda topic. Everyone is welcome to attend the CAB meeting, and you are not required to identify yourself. However, if you wish to become a CAB member, then we need to know your name, because you must be a member of WBAI and attend 3 out of 4 consecutive CAB meetings. And that concludes the CAB announcements. Let me go back to the agenda. All right, Mr. Henley, are you at the meeting yet? All right, still don't hear Mr. Henley. So F is read the minutes for the May meeting. Tom, are you ready for that?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
There was a meeting of the WBAI CAB on May 19, 2024, and it was held by Maestro Conference Calls. The agenda was A, roll call, B, timekeeper, C, read agenda, D, guest speakers, E, CAB announcements, F, read April minutes, G, tabled issues, H, programming and significant station policy, I, other issues, J, repeat announcements, K, next meeting date, L, adjourn meeting. Those attending the meeting were Neil Voss, Denise Joyce, Daryl McPherson, Carolyn Burden, Laura Andrews, Ben Serene, Mayat, Jack DePalma, James Sagerton, Bertel Drymas, and Linda Perry. Voting members present were Neil Voss, Denise Joyce, Daryl McPherson, Carolyn Burden, Ben Serene, Laura Andrews, and Tom Murata. The roll call was taken. Quorum was reached. Denise Joyce was the timekeeper. Under C, the agenda was read and accepted. Under D, guest speakers Bertel Drymas and Linda Perry gave us an update on the station and took any and all questions from those present. One of the main points made was that WBAI is not going to contest the lawsuit against BAI, but would, along with the rest of the other stations, present the thank you gifts in a way that will bring us in compliance with the broadcast laws. The CAB thanked them for their presentations and explanations. Under E, the CAB announcements, Neil made the announcements. Under F, the April 21st, 2024 minutes were read and accepted. Under G, there were no tabled issues. Under programming and significant station policies, a number of issues were discussed. One was to get our suggestions to the LSB at its meeting. If we aren't given a time to present our report at the meeting, would be to send an email report to the meeting to be on the record as presenting our report to the LSB. Another was to suggest to consider buying a building for the long run when it becomes economically possible. Under other issues, promoting the station with the use of leaflets and palm cards was discussed. As Bruce Greif has said a number of times, WBAI is the best station along with the Pacifica Network that no one has ever heard of. Under J, repeat announcements. The announcements were repeated. Under K, the next meeting of the CAB will be on June 16, 2024 at 1 p.m. and will be held by Maestro Conference Calls. And the meeting was adjourned at 3:41.
All right. Thanks, Tom. Any objections to approving those minutes? Hearing no objections, those minutes are approved. All right, next on the agenda is tabled issues, which I don't think there are any. However, does anybody have the time right now?
It's only 1:15.
Oh, it's just 1:15 now. Someone just came on. Mr. Henley, are you here? Is Jim Digman here?
Can somebody reach out to him, give him a call?
I was trying to call the number.
Yeah, that's just what I'm.
Okay.
What I'm going to do now. Do you have his number, Denise?
But the number is not checking out, so something's wrong there. You know, I'm not.
Neil, I have a question.
All right, I'm going to drop off.
Okay,
I'm going to drop off the call here. And next
Mario.
Time.
Yes, Mary. We have.
Hi, Mario.
Now.
Okay, so I don't believe there's any tabled issues. Next on the agenda is programming and significant station policy. And Denise, can you handle that until I get back? I'm going to try to contact Mr. Henley.
Absolutely, yes, thank you.
Okay, thanks. I'll be right back.
Okay, so We're going into the programming and significant station policies as Neil has suggested, and he's going to try to see if he can get Bob Henley. So does anybody have any thoughts about the programming currently or want to reiterate what was discussed last month and kind of give a little more substance to the suggestion?
Mario, to the staff, please.
Who's going to be on the staff?
Mario, I have something to do with the minutes, actually.
Oh, very good. You got here a little late. I was surprised you heard the minutes. And will there be anyone else?
This is Denise. Jack would like to say something, but it's not on topic.
Okay. As long as it's within 3 minutes, is there anyone else? Is there anyone else? All right, for the time being.
My idea is this including station policy?
Yes, it includes both programming and significant station policies.
Yes, Mayad on this.
So Mayad would like to be on as well. Is there anyone else? Because I'm going to proceed to Mario and then go down the line.
Yes, Daryl
on the staff.
I would like to.
Beg your pardon? Daryl?
Yes.
Very good.
Thank you.
And this is Mitchell. I'd like to be on the stack, please.
I think is there anyone else before we start to work down the stat? No one else currently? Mario, you've got your 3 minutes.
Okay, this is something very important, and it just got reminded to me while I listened to the minutes. The LSB has not recognized a report from the CAB I want to guess at least 6 months, maybe more. That's an important issue this body should take up and treat very seriously, because with what is one of the things that they tell us, even the LSB tells us? Oh, you are to advise the LSB. So if we don't get a minute or two at the meeting, how are we advising the LSB?
I totally agree with you.
So either they give us...
I just wanted to correct what you said.
I'm putting this up for the group. This is up for the group for discussion. A serious discussion.
It hasn't been 6 months. So, all right. But
what do you mean it hasn't been six months?
All right, guys, I'm back. This is Neil. Mr. Henley, are you on the call here?
All right. So, Neil, I started something.
Mario just made a statement about the cab.
Neil, how long has it been that you haven't been able to give the report to the LSB?
It's been 2 months now.
2 months now?
2 months.
Yes.
Oh, prior to that, you were able to do it?
Yes.
All right, well, I missed one or two meetings there. All right, because if we're not able to put anything on the floor at the LSB, then it's not known to the LSB. And if it's something very important that has to do with legal issues or things like that, they need to know.
Is this a three-minute response, Mario?
I don't know. Jack, what are you asking
me
for?
Excuse me.
See what happens.
Hold up, guys.
By the way, Jack, you cannot make a statement that's off the topic.
Guys, hang on, everybody. I want to talk to Denise for a second. Denise, how long has Mario been addressing the cab?
He spoke for about a minute and 50 seconds when I tried to correct him, telling him that no, we have had the cab comments prior to 6 months, and then you came
back on. Right.
Mario has an error.
So Mario has a couple of more minutes. So continue, Mario.
No, he has a minute and 10 seconds.
Okay. Now, I'd like us to monitor this and watch what they do, because if you don't notify the LSB, they could always say, well, no one told us anything of these infractions. See, once you tell the LSB of infractions, the LSB is supposed to do something about it or look into it. So I do remember beyond that one or two meetings in a row, they never got to Neil. So it's sporadic. It's sporadic. I do remember at least two meetings in a row about 6 months ago that Neil didn't get to say anything. So that's it for now. That's a very important issue that just came up in the moment when Tom mentioned he was not able to give a report. I don't know why they can't give him 2 minutes. They can't get their thing together. Very important.
I think I agree with Mario in this instance.
All right, Mario, I believe your time is up here.
Yes.
Very good.
Mr. Henley, are you on the call yet? Are you at the meeting? Jim Dingman, are you at the meeting? All right, so two guest speakers.
We started a stack for programming and significant station policies. Mario just made a very important suggestion to be a little. We're going to have to be a little more aggressive about making sure we get our report in every single month. And now we have Jack, and as Mario did point out, if the statements you have to make are not on subject, we are going to have to pass on it.
Okay, so who's on stack next, James?
I just wanted to point out that the bylaws changes are what the LSB has to address. That's LSB business. And the cab, thank God, Neil, thank God, Denise, you guys keep having a cab. It's not a universal responsibility, it seems, across Pacifica. A doesn't seem to have a cab, or maybe they selected a few people that represent something. But the idea that we're going to go on topic or off topic is really about what's really bothering Pacifica, LSB, New York City, WBAI, and the CAB should be addressing all these issues as best we can. I understand what Mario is saying. He's absolutely right.
Yes.
But many people that do not listen to the radio or do not listen to the LSB or do not listen to this CAB meeting or do not attend CAB meetings are flipping the script. They're trying to find out if there's any knowledge amongst people that are not interested in the CAB, meaning KPFA, meaning people at Pacifica, meaning even if Bob Henley does not show up. I wonder if in fact he's ever come to any meeting in the
previous
day.
Hello?
Thank you very
hello?
Much.
Okay.
Very much, Tom. Thank you.
Hey, yo.
Hello, everybody. Hang on. Jack, could you just hold for a minute? I think we're going to... We're going to go to our guest speaker, Mr. Henley.
Let's continue. I'd like to hear more about that.
You have to finish the stack, Neil.
All right, let's finish the stack.
Okay. If I may, Jack still has he still has 1 minute.
I give my time over to you, Denise. Thank you.
Thank you. I just want to say, I'm not next on stack, but I will put myself on stack. I'm going to go to my ad just for this particular. Let me ask a question to all of the members. Do we want to proceed with the general workings of our meeting, or do we want to hear from Bob Henley?
Carol McPherson, Bronx, New York. I would like to finish out this particular section and then go on to program director, interim program director, interim general manager, Bob Henley.
And is that fine with you, Mr. Henley?
Of course.
I believe you hate
it. I mean, how long you talk about it? It is Father's Day, and I just found out about this. So how long do you think you want to finish the internal stuff?
We have 9 minutes.
Okay, cool, great.
We have three people in the stack.
Denise, hang on. We just want to finish up the stack. That's all we want to do right now.
Great.
Denise,
how long? Okay.
Denise, go ahead.
We're going to Myad next. Go ahead, Myad.
As regards significant station policy, and hi, Bob.
Hi.
Glad you're on now, because one of the things that needs to be followed up on, and we're really looking for a new start. It's long overdue. But when you had your recent, you referred to it as report to the listener. For some time, the CAB unanimously, without objection, tried to alert management to the importance of terming that report as, and you actually conducted as such, because most of the time, after your initial summary and report was called, so it should be, and this is something that's been a long time struggle, why some of us are so grateful for a new start. It should properly be a report to the listener and from the listener. Remember that a listener gave us the buddy system, which has been so significant to the station. So we just want to keep that 60 years ago, the justification was how Linda said that, well, we're going to, every company, organization, corporation has to renew their marketing and PR terms on a fairly regular basis, which if you're holding up something because it's been 60 years, that is absolutely the wrong approach. With who you seem to be, I'm sure you'll agree to report to and from the listener as highly and often recommended to prior management should be the correct terming. And, of course, lifting up the people who you depend on to keep the station going. I'm finished. Thank you.
Thanks, Maya. Who's next on the stack, Denise?
Next is Daryl.
Thank you so much, Neil and Denise. Under programming, suggestion for a programming on U.S. political prisoners hosted by, hosted by former host Dequee Keone Siddiqui, and I'll send that to you, Tom. Next. Bring Back Personal Computer Show with Hank T. Next, another computer show aimed specifically at seniors. Perhaps we can get in touch with Senior Planet or the parent organization. Oh, gosh, it's gone.
AARP, yes.
No, it's not AARP. It's OATS, Older Adults Technology Services or something like that. In the context that most people have zero idea and will resist to the death learning how to be in the 21st century. And they're going to need the machines to do that because they're going to take away the old tools that you use to conduct business. So I would suggest that we get our population. Well, first of all, my belief that we need to get to first our listenership and then the people who we, our future listenership, that BAI as compared to normal quote-unquote radio, is a learning platform that will give the listeners the tools to survive in the 21st century, to be able to adapt to any environment that they happen to encounter, whether it's Genocidal Joe or, I'm uncursed of what to call, rapist, I don't want to defame felons by calling them, having Donald John Trump as one of their myths. Anyway, underwriting, since it seems to be very successful, we need to teach all our producers and help all our producers and demand that the Pacifica National Board.
You have 5 seconds.
Right, thank you. Provide us the tools to get all our programs under it.
All right, thank you for that, Daryl.
Mitchell is the next person that is.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Hi, I think it's really foolish to junk our standard way of doing premiums altogether and rely solely on union contributions, which is what Bob has said on the air, until it's proven that it can work that way to raising the $1.2 million or something that we need to raise every year for BAI. I think... you do both, and you see how they are working out. I think it's a big mistake, huge mistake. And I also wanted to mention that, Carolyn Burden has raised the issue about the bylaws resolutions coming up, about how one of the resolutions is to get rid of the right of the LSBs to name runner-ups and put it into a self-selecting group of people, which will then just scuttle the, we need to vote down these bylaws. They're awful and they're concentrating and consolidating people's power of the few who are there already. So it becomes much more of a self-selective board if we allow that to go through. So I think that's important. The last thing I wanted to say is, Bob, You've made a number of statements on in your Thursday show, which was repeated again today at noon, about Gary Null did this, and he sold his premiums, and that was illegal, and we are, you know, just because someone says that that happened doesn't mean that it happened. You know, I've read through the FCC reports also and what was submitted, and this is just nonsense. That wasn't what happened, and it wasn't what was even said in the allegations. So I think we should be really way more cautious about how we frame things to our listeners and saying, we did this, and it was wrong, and this is horrible. I don't think we did a lot of that, or most of that. Pacifica never challenged, didn't let WBAI challenge it before the FCC, and Pacifica never challenged it because they wanted this to happen. And it's my contention that elements in Pacifica, New Day and others in California, are trying to break the network. They're not having the best interest of the network, and they're trying to break off BAI in order to pocket the money, sell BAI, pocket the money that they get for it. And it's that simple. And we should be really savvy about what's going on. And I want Bob, who I like, and I appreciate his reporting on labor reporting and so forth, to actually speak to that and, you know, and not fall for this crap.
You have fun.
Because it's amazing, you know. Anyway, thank you.
All right, thanks so much, Mitchell. Denise, anyone else on the stack?
Excuse me. No, unfortunately, we're going to – I was the last on the stack, but I don't want to go on. I would like us to allow Bob Henley an opportunity to be our guest. And
Denise, is that discretionary or is that a rule?
No, we had invited him to be our guest speaker.
I'm aware. Can I have 2 minutes?
No. Hang on, Laura. Bob Henley is next.
How long would you folks like me to speak? I want to be respectful of your process.
Well, it's up to you. I mean, 15, 20 minutes would be great, and then answer some questions.
So in the spirit of dialogue, if the prior speaker who seemed to have some urgency would like to speak, I'll ask the Denise, in respect of her position, can we allow her? Because if perhaps in my comment I might be able to speak to her concern, it would be productive.
All right, I step down for being on the stat, and I'll add Laura there instead. Go ahead, Laura.
Thank you. My statement is quite simple, but I think it's important. Again, I'm going to reiterate. We need to reevaluate the shifting of weight imposed by imposing unnecessary requirements upon station producers, such as the requisite buddy system or membership building system. That should be an option. That alone will not solve all of WBAI's economic problems. It's the responsibility of the institution's executive staff and board members to satisfy this requirement. That's one of the reasons why you would hire an executive, because of the resources that individual brings to the institution. Whenever there's a problem, we're consistently evaluating our producers. We have outstanding producers. We're fortunate to have the producers at WBAI. I think Mr. Rothenberg spoke about Alvin Ailey, and I use Alvin Ailey as an example. Alvin Ailey knew that he could not bring the Alvin Ailey Institution to the height that it is currently at its renowned status. So Mr. Ailey, willingly or unwillingly, knew that he would have to bring in someone with the requisite qualifications, and that was Judith Jamison. And I think that format would be an excellent template that WBAI can use. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Henley.
Of course.
And thank you, Denise, for providing me the opportunity.
So that's, of course, I'm really glad that we got that observation. So I think there's a lot to address here, and some of it I addressed. And by the way, as long as I have this job, and who knows, you know, I've been fired by Pacifica twice. So believe me, I understand the precarious environment that I operate in. Report to and from the listeners, that is how I shall refer to it ongoing, because that is exactly right. That's what it is. My assessment of what's going on is still ongoing because I'm trying to gather all the information that I can. I would suggest that the institution has had all kinds of tribulations, and those of you who are on this call on this lovely day clearly care a lot about it. And so I commend you for taking the time to be here. But it is suffered much. And I go back to the days of, you know, Bernard White and Wake Up Call and Amy Goodman and Democracy Now! And, of course, Maury Marksman. And, you know, I think we suffered with his passing because there was a kind of conviviality and comedy that he encouraged, even though it was a very diverse place. I think that having gone through the Pacifica tribulations related to Democracy Now!, that was a wound, a structural wound, from which it really never recovered. And I'm happy that Democracy Now! Is the global platform that it is. But as a practical matter, it did leave Pacifica diminished. And the battle and the adversarial way that it played out not only resulted in the loss of Pacifica Network News and 20 jobs, including mine, but also left the institution somewhat adrift. So I think it's important for me to reconstruct, just give you a sense of how I got here, because it was I was interim program director back in 2013-14. Some of this I covered. I mean, my initial reentry back into this was working with Michael Haskins in Haskins and Henley, which is an impromptu attempt to retire the debt that Pacific had run up from summarily dismissing over 20 after SAG members. And we were able to do that. And I appealed directly to listeners, particularly in Uniontown, that we make whole the commitment to the workers that had worked for Pacific and BAI. At the time, I was called, going into a pledge drive, by Mr. Knoll, who informed me that we were many, many premiums, thousands of premiums behind, that had come to his attention that we were actually bootlegging copies of the copyrighted material he had. And he offered me a remedy, which was to put himself on the radio dial for an extended period of time. It is my professional judgment as a career public broadcaster who did it long enough to get a pension that the way that BAI and Pacifica, and you're so true, they did permit it. Certainly there wasn't any kind of pushback. That what they permitted to happen on air was indeed, at the time, a violation of the FCC nonprofit license requirements, and that the counterfeiting of CD material constituted on the scale it was being done, was a violation of federal copyright law, which also carries with it civil and criminal penalties. In addition, the fact that we had let premiums go for so long actually created the occasion of a Federal Trade Commission pattern and practice fraud, because the law requires between 30 to 50 days, depending on what you've committed to deliver the premiums that you've promised. So you have here the trifecta, ladies and gentlemen. And so I informed management of that, and I was summarily fired.
Yes. May I just ask the date when this initially started so that when
so I would say questions. I have to go back, but it's widely reported, and I'll supply you with the clips. I didn't come prepared like in a court setting, but I'll be glad to send you.
Date.
It was 2014, February 2014 was, I think, and it was written up in the New York Times, Politico, and so, and then also it was my plan back then, and I didn't have as deep a Rolodex, nor had I accomplished as much as I have in the last 10 years working as the chief leader and covering almost exclusively the impact of COVID on federal workers and meatpacking plants, the TSA, doing some of the most important signature reporting on healthcare in the United States. I didn't have those relationships then. But it was my hope to migrate not just towards unions, but towards the nonprofit sector in general, and to do what I'd been trained to do at WNYC, which was the creation of non-comparative sponsorships, which carry with them language that is not necessarily commercial in nature. And I had done it 4 years. And so I wanted to be able to do that for WBAI. The general manager at the time informed me that that was not the business plan he wished to pursue. So I was terminated. I went on my happy way. And if you want, just ask, Michael Haskins was standing there. John Kane was there. This is widely known by people that were physically at the station. And so in good faith, several years later, Linda Perry approached me about stabilizing the morning drive time air with what's going on. And so even though my prior experience with the organization had been difficult and fraught, I thought that I owed it to the institution because, as I've said in the live, when I did the report to the report to and from the listeners, teach an old dog new tricks, we can accomplish it, it was something where I would try to bring unions together. And, of course, it was very exciting in the labor movement. I mean, 3 years ago, we were ready to do a lot of things. And so one of the things that I'm championing in this, and the prior call, forgive me, I don't know your name, just before, made some very important points. I believe that what had developed in the station was an abusive atmosphere of the producers. And I feel that having had been on many of the shows and been in collegial contact all these years, that what we did is transferred the stress and anxiety of the mismanagement of the enterprise in general onto the producers, who were only trying to do things that they would do with passion and commitment to make the world a better place. And so we actually set an abusive system in place. I liken it to the beating of the mules, on the borax ad until they dropped down in the Gobi Desert. I mean, it was obscene, quite frankly. The 52-week schedule, what it did is it severed what I refer to as the continuity of community interest. And I'd like to tell you that that's deeper than listenership. And what do I mean by that? You know, it's not a highfalutin phrase. It's a lived experience. I'm going to give you a proof of concept that I lived. I know we all like to say, I want to keep the conversation away from now things I don't know about the interesting war and the evil forces in the West Coast. I don't know about that. That all may be true. I'm just going to tell you about my lived experience. So I start this little show, What's Going on Labor Monday? And the nurses go on strike at the Robert Wood Johnson Hospital. Incredible odds. 1,700 brave male and female nurses who suffered through COVID, who wanted to go on strike and put something at risk for safer staffing for patients themselves and their families, and went up against a multi-billion-dollar corporation, nonprofit, Fugazi, as I say, and had given their CEO $16 million in the second year of the pandemic and spent $150 million to break the strike. We gave them a place to be every Monday. Did it upset NYC? Did it show up on the Holy Cume? Did it rock Nielsen? No, it did not. But to those several hundred nurses, it was a place to repair to for the continuity of community interest. And pretty soon, don't you know, we had nurses from other areas of the country calling, and we had Teamsters, UAW. And then when a judge in New Brunswick did not like the fact that these brothers and sisters were bringing 500 to 600 people to the hospital every day in the picket line, they restricted it to 10 or 12 with cops standing around them. And the very next Monday, my friends, what happened? Reverend Barber, Sarah Nelson of the UFA-CWA, and a radio rally. And to this day, when they won that strike, who do you think they associate with their victory? So that's how unions, we put ourselves on unions' radar, and that's just the beginning. I have raised for Pacifica and WBI in the last 30 days something close to $150,000. Now, I know that that's not going to retire the tower debt, but I was actually working on a national project when this all stepped off. My plan at this point in my career was not to go backward to a job I was fired from, but to rebuild the national capability to cover Reverend Barber's march on June 29th and the conventions and the election. And then this thing all stepped off, which is still under investigation. My plan is to work work with every single producer to keep them on as long as they want to be, work with them about how they can take advantage of this environment for the sustaining contribution, and also find ways for them to work across the strip to support each other. ladies and gentlemen, I know this business. That's all I got. Any questions? I got about another 50 minutes before my family really gets mad at me.
All right. So thanks so much, Mr. Henley. Who wants to be on the stack? Who's this?
Daryl Andre Mayotte.
Exactly.
No, I was the first one.
No, Daryl did say first. Mayotte. He really did.
I only have 30.
All right,
Denise, would you give Mayotte the slot?
All right. Because
I can't do this today.
Sure. So.
Okay. Yes.
I'll go after Andre.
All right, so it'll be Maya, Andre, and Daryl.
Mario to the stack.
All right, hang on, everybody. So far, it's Maya, Andre, and Daryl, and Mario.
And Denise. So
go ahead, Maya.
Neil, could you put me after Denise?
Alright, hang on, people. I have Maya first. Then I have Andre. Then I have Daryl. So you're saying you want
to put me after Denise, please. The end.
Alright, so it'll be Maya, Andre, Denise, Daryl. And then Mario. Go ahead, Maya.
Okay. Yes. I just want to say a huge thank you for Bob Henley sharing in his presentation. He has perfectly framed something that has long been advocated, and we're looking forward to finally report to and from the listeners. That is our community. And that is perfectly put. Bob, I have your email. I believe it's pd@wbai.org. Confirm that for all. And I have a most urgent life and death Pacifica WBAI email coming to you. It land on your desk on Monday, and I look forward to your response. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Maya. Andre Ward, you're next.
Yeah, thank you very much. So I'm going to be very brief. This is Andre Ward, Bob from On the Count. Thank you for the insight and for that context. A couple of things. In terms of fundraising, and I'm sure this is something that may have been raised many years ago or even recently, us considering maybe a gala of some sort or gala that we can seek to kind of raise funds for the station in and of itself. And I also like the collaborative idea that you mentioned where producers are working collaboratively to also support with raising funds. That's all I have to say. Thank you very much.
And your program is a must listen, and thank you so much.
Thank you, Andre. Denise, you're next on the stack.
Actually, Mario did ask to be on the stack before me.
All right, so you're yielding to Mario. Go ahead, Mario. Mario, are you here? I don't hear Mario, so Denise, go ahead.
Okay. I started to really wanting to dialogue more or ask more questions. But I think I'm going to allow the dialogue to go on a little longer. I understand what you were referring to pertaining to Gary Knowles around 2014 and what he had, the statements he made, but he did not follow through with pressing charges and had stayed quite a while after that and tried to assist
him. I'm sorry to interrupt you, Denise, but your voice is very low.
All right, so I'm going to, as I said before, I'm going to concede again to Daryl. All right, thank you so much. Go ahead, Daryl.
All right, thanks, Denise. Daryl, you're next on the stack.
Thank you, Denise. May I call you Bob?
Of course.
Okay. One, disregarding the process of how you returned to the positions that you're in, I really like your spirit.
Excuse me, your phone, it's very overmodulated. So I'm hearing kind of like the Charlie Brown teacher, want, so if there's any way, no offense, it's just I can't understand what you're saying, and I really want to.
Totally understood. Am I clear now?
Yeah, if you're backed away from, give a little distance to the mic and the phone, that's much better. Thank you.
Is this better?
Yeah, it's fantastic. Thanks.
I appreciate it. Okay. I really would like a way that we could get the triumph of the nurses in the negotiations out to more people on the station, because I was unaware of it, and I listened to BAI quite a bit, especially your show, because I used to be in CWA 1101. And I really appreciate the strategy you have for raising capital. We have 100 billionaires living in this city. A former mayor at one point, $106.2 billion, and if we could only get them to use Pacifica-WBAI as a tax write-off, we could make a lot of progress. I think we need to bring to the listeners of WBAI the facts of how the Pacific, what WBAI is as a part of the Pacifica Foundation radio network, and how, if we fail to save the network, then we better have a plan B strategy to keep the producers together to do something online only, in the context that as an entity, we're legal fiction. So there's a lot of history that is useful, yet needs to be kept in perspective, because the focus at WBAI is to raise $10 million, not 1.3 or 1.5. That's insane. There's Hal Berthold and Linda, well, Berthold mostly, kept the station on the air 24 hours with that little bit of money is way off track. We need to announce when we need money, every time we need money, we need to continually bring to the listeners, A, we need this much money. We've made this much money from the last time we asked you, and we need to...
You dropped off, Daryl.
No, I stopped because my time ran out.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks a lot, Daryl.
After Mario? I mean, after Denise?
Yeah, I just got gone. I had to jump off.
Yeah, Mario, you're next on the stack. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm going to say Mr. Hanley because I don't know Bob personally. I'm going to give Bob a nickname. Now, for me, a nickname, and it's a very respectable one, but a nickname for me puts him in a very scrutinizing place. I'm going to watch. So, for me, I'm going to call Bob Hope. Okay? So, So we got Bob Hope here. And I'm going to encourage this community advisory board to work with the general manager. And I got respect for Bob because one of the things he said right from the get-go the other day was, I walked in and the fire exits were blocked with cardboard boxes. So this is a guy who is well-rounded. You know what I mean? So in my opinion, I don't understand how people could ignore a lot of the dysfunction, which either was the responsibility of the past management, or they just, you know, overwhelmed, and many people tugging at them. But they have to take responsibility. So I hope the station turns to, I just went to a Parks Department recreational center, and the elevators are broke. And I joined the center, and I go in, and it's named after an African-American woman on East 54th Street. I found out that the one on 60th Street is broken, and this is going on for years. I go to the desk, and they go and they shrug their shoulders. And so I start telling strategy to the people at the desk, and in comes an older lady manager. She says, well, maybe this center is not for you. Go to one that maybe you don't need an elevator. And I'm going, we shall see.
I have that reporter instinct. Would you please, because I'm not, write and send to PD that anecdote, because I have friends at work by who would, and the union for the parks maintenance people that would very much like that anecdote, and we can turn it into action.
Bob, when you came on, I just knew it. All right. I don't have to say any more to that. I just knew it. And they're going to be very happy. There's discrimination. They got the disability sign on the website, and then the locker rooms on the second floor. All right. Anyway, this is the station. This is what the station's got to do. If it concentrates too much in one direction, and I told this to Linda, it's never good. If it goes too much to gay rights, it's never good. If it goes too much to...
I have 5 seconds.
Okay. Geez, what could I say in 5 seconds? You know, June 7th was Pat Sajak's retired, 41 years. He says, it's just a game, he said. So how selfish...
0 seconds.
How selfish of Lyndon Bertolt to steal his thunder? No, I'm just being... A little LOL, okay? All right. Maybe I'll get another 3 minutes. Okay.
All right. Thanks, Mario. Mr. Henley, would you like to respond to any of the comments made?
No, just that I appreciate the hearing, and I do think that we're going to have to be in close contact. Particularly, Denise was remedied the issue with the boxes in the back entrance. I now have to deal with the building owners about the elevator and how we can get it out. The volunteers that have come through all this have been the continuity and the social ecology that's kept it going. And I know that the staff, I have some substantial issues to deal with. I have people that have not been paid that were supposed to be paid. This is going to be a struggle. It's not going to be easy. But the one thing the national organization has recognized is its initiative for labor, which has resulted in a $50,000 grant from the American Federation of Government Employees to the foundation to cover national politics, came from the BAI community. And one of the things that I'm hoping to do is that when stations step up, because like Reverend Barber's event is going to be produced in the field, but it's going back to BAI where it will be master control, that there's a $5,000 to $6,000 benefit, whether that's to BAI. The similar thing is happening with WPFW. And so it's like I say, it's like changing the fan belt with the engine running.
May I just take my spot very quickly?
Go ahead, Denise, and we'll wrap it up here. Go ahead, Denise.
Very quickly. Bob, I'm tending as Mario. I like to call people by their surname, but you have asked us to do so. I just want to say, pertaining to the unions, I am a union. I was a union worker, and they are becoming quite scrupulous in some of their conduct. And I would like, whatever we do, not to totally depend upon the assistance from the unions based on how they are currently conducting themselves in a very unethical way. I'm talking about the union leaders, not the rank and file. So, you know, we want to keep an eye on that. We wouldn't want to have sponsors that are problematic a little ways down the road. But I'm sure
thank you. I wanted to respond to directly because I'm very well aware of that, covering labor for 20 years. And if you see on Friday, one of the hosts we had was Marion Pizzatola, who was an FDNY retired EMT who has been fighting the battle against the immoral decision by DC-37 and the UFT and the Teamsters to sell out 250,000 retirees of their access to Medicare. This Tuesday, you're going to hear the story about police corruption that rotted out entirely DEP police union. And so I agree with you. I have been reporting on these issues. There's no doubt that the labor movement, we certainly know that the struggle, I have Professor Wilson on all the time that reminds us about the racist nature of so much of the American labor movement. But by the same token, go ahead, I'm sorry.
And just one other thing pertaining to the nurses, I know several of them, and many of the nurses were coerced and forced to take the COVID inoculation. I know that you gave experiences about what happened with your sister, but Gary Knowles and many other people who have a lot of background in medicine have spoken about the inoculation or the testing of our citizens with injections that are showing to be not good for our bodies. And while we did cover, you know, the overwork of the nurses, but many times, for some reason, we're not covering the voice of the nurses who are speaking about having to be forced to take an inoculation when they feel it's not going to be beneficial for their health. Perhaps we can start to look into that as well from professionals feeling similar to the way Gary Knowles and other producers in our station.
And I would like to share with you, may not be aware, but at the Chief Leader, I was one of the few journalists to write about what I believe to be the immoral coercion and the mandatory stance that the city took, and I've reported extensively on that. I do believe that we at the station have to be a place where this very real important public debate is held, because I understand the constellation of the pharma and the medical industrial complex closes out this conversation. And so I've covered in great detail of what Bill de Blasio did, playing one union after against another, not listening to any of the scientific testimony related to the power of natural immunity. I'm well aware of all of that. But again, I do think we do have to, and you've seen in the program that's been on, I've tried to continue to keep that diversity of voices. What we can't do is merchandise related to that debate.
Mr. Henry?
That anymore, but thank you so much for allowing me.
Hello, Neil. I think Jim Dingman's trying to get on.
Who's this?
This is Jack. I think Jim Dingman is having trouble getting on. Is Jim Dingman there?
Hang on, Jack. Any more questions for Mr. Henley?
Yes, I have.
Daryl McPherson.
Daryl, this is you?
Yes.
Go ahead, Daryl. Make it quick, please.
Right. Bob, would you look into ways in which volunteers can work remote from home, and especially with regard to fundraising? There's I believe it's software called IVR, in which you have the call going to whoever's doing the call.
That's right.
Are you familiar?
I'm very aware of that. Yes, it is a technology. It's off the shelf now. There's no reason why it couldn't be applied.
Right, and that way, if there's a space problem or at night there's zero people willing to answer the phone, we can have a volunteer list to answer the phone.
Absolutely correct.
And keep that going. The other thing is, you might have heard me before. We need to find passive ways for low-income people to participate in the process. And I've been pushing only because it's the first one that I came across. Goodshop.com/about. It's a shopping platform wherein you have we're already registered. WBAI is already registered with Goodshop. It enables people to shop and have a percentage of their shopping go to the cause of their choice. And they also have a search engine powered by Yahoo, called goodsearch.org. We are also, you can raise money for BAI there also. So I raised $64 last year. What we need to do is we need to have, J.J. Ramberg and Ken and J.J. Ramberg interview on the station talking about Good Shop, and we can use it as a tool to raise money for all nonprofits simply by saying the nonprofit reaching out to the station and the station then asking folks to use Good Shop and Good Search for the day in the name of that station. It's a 1 million searches, $10,000, penny a shot. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Daryl. Mr. Henley, any final comments to make?
I want to thank you. When you convene again.
Neil, Mr. Henley?
Jack, what's up, Jack?
I got two voices coming
out. I just wanted to point out one thing to Mr. Henley.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Jack, real quick.
Yeah, Bob, I was in the front room when you mentioned this to me in 2015, and I've been watching this for a long time. And I know exactly what you're talking about because I was there breaking up the cardboard boxes in 2000 at Wall Street. My comment to you, Bob, is simply this. I'm a UFT recipient of the money that was given to the teachers union when they gave us Medicare Advantage. And I think that Ms. Pizzitola person should really kind of start talking about health care for all, not just health care for New York unions.
No,
that
was the point of it. That's where the conversation is going. You're exactly right. I have to go join my family for Father's Day. Thank you for taking
Happy Father's
time.
Day, Bob.
Happy Father's Day, Bob.
Thanks so much, Mr. Henley. We appreciate your coming. Thank you.
Neil, can we continue this section?
What section?
Significant station policy.
Yes, we're going back to that now.
Oh, okay.
I would like to start off with my suggestion for a show. And it's to do a show, to do a reading of the Gary Null Show notes or from the Gary Null newsletter. So instead of having Gary Null on personally, someone would have a show where they are reading from Gary Null's notes to the WBAI listeners. All right, so we're still in programming and significant station policy. So I believe Denise, you were the last one on the stack or speaking in this section. Did you finish?
I participated in it already.
All right. Okay. So
excuse me.
We need
I just
to
like
make
to thank- I'd just like to thank CAB, and I'm going to sign off. This is Gloria. Thank you so much. Have a good day.
All right. So
thanks
for coming, Gloria.
Everybody.
All right. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Do you need to speak louder, please?
Hang on, please.
Bessarine on the stack.
All right. Bessarine.
Yes.
Mario.
Who else
May
is
I
on
speak?
The stack?
Mario.
Hang on, wait a minute, Bessarine. Who else is for the stack?
Mario.
Anyone else? All right, Bessarine, go ahead.
Yes, you mentioned something about the newsletter from Gary Null. And is this something that he has to give consent to use something from his show?
Yes, Gary may have to give approval for us to do this. That might be correct.
Yes. Also, Neil, this has nothing to do with the current, business at hand. But I think I had sent you by mistake a flyer because the number that had coming to me was dual. It was two numbers. So if you did get a flyer from me, it's by accident because I did not seek your consent to send it out. I was trying to send it to Denise, as she requested, but I think it was a double number. So if you had gotten a flyer from me, it's by accident. I did not seek your consent to send it out, so excuse me for that.
Okay, well, I'll have to check my emails to see if did you send it by email or by text?
By text.
Okay, I'll have to check my text. Okay.
Yes.
Anything
right,
else, Bessarine? Okay, thank you, Bessarine.
No, that's it.
Okay, thanks. Mario, you're next on the stack.
Okay, I'd like to clear the air, and I'm going to bounce around a little bit, but it's about station policy in the past, present, things like this. Let me say that Gary Null was very clear about why he left BAI. He said it was time to move on, but he did say at another day that if they straighten some things out, he might be back. Let's see. But it sounded like he wanted to move on. All right. Now, Mitchell said something about Gary. And it's not about Gary. This is not about Gary. This is about station policy, miscommunication, and things like this. Oh, about 5, 6, 7 years ago, finance committee meeting at 388 on the second, on the right at the office in the front. What was being complained by the audience? People donated $2,500 to Gary Null's detox, and he said all the money goes to the station on the radio. And there's a lot of miscommunication, and the management didn't straighten it out. And the management didn't tell the calls. It was hard to, because the pledges for this premium, you had to go to Gary Null. So what came back to the finance committee was people were complaining because they only got a $500 donation to BAI tax credit. And so Berthold informed the finance committee that he didn't want to engage in what would be tax fraud or misappropriations, because people said, come on, what's the big deal? Give me the $2,500 tax write-off. And they were mad. And so do you see how the progression of what I told you, what said over the air, and what actually happened? So people only got a $500 tax credit because Gary Null only gave the donation to BAI of $500, not $2,500. Not 2,000, not 1,500, 500. That is reported by Berthold at a finance committee meeting. You want to check it? Our poll records all the meetings. So this is the stuff that was going on. Lots of strong figures, lots of strong personalities. Berthold and Linda were not the strongest. If it would have been some more remarks, man, different story. Different story. We have to support Bob. It's going to take a while for us to bring Bob up to speed. I was flabbergasted what took place at the local station board meeting, asking him questions. Where's the $1 million? You were supposed to have it by yesterday. Meanwhile, for 15 years, they did hardly anything. I don't agree about doing premiums like that. If we're going to do premiums, follow the bylaws, nothing more than $100. And you better have the mailing system done correctly. What else? What else could I say? Probably think of something else. But this is the kind of stuff that was going on, and we have to support. We cannot forget and get amnesia.
Your time is up.
There you go.
All right, wrap it up, Mario, real quick.
All right. We cannot shy away from dysfunction and lying to the public, period, whoever it is.
All right. Thanks for that, Mario. Anyone else?
Neil, I'm here.
Anyone else
here
for the stack? Jim Digman, you're
here. On the stack.
Hang on, people. Jim Digman, you're here?
I am, yeah.
All right. Everyone, hang on, everyone. We're going to give Jim Digman the floor now. We'll after Jim speaks, we'll go back to programming and significant station policy, and Bessarine will be the first one on the stack. But right now, Jim Digman is going to talk. Hang on. Right now, Jim Digman is going to talk about the threat from the New Day people and the
the bylaw changes that they're trying to force on everyone. So you go ahead, Jim.
This is Berto. I'd like to speak to what Mario said first.
Oh, Berto, you're here?
Yeah.
All right.
I'd like to address what Mario said. So
all right.
Mario, for the first time, was accurate in reporting anything. $2,500 the people give to go to this retreat, and then Gary Noll gives us $500. $2,000 is the cost of the retreat, traveling, lodging, feeding, treatment, and everything else. Just like every single premium, if you donate $150 for a premium, and the premium is worth, let's say, $50, you get only $100 from your tax letters. So, yes, the listeners are supposed to get only a $500 letter of tax deduction because the retreat was worth $2,000 of like 7 days or 10 days of lodging, feeding, exercise, meditating, trainers, nurses, and stuff like that over there. So that actually the retreat is worth a lot more than that. But I mean, this is what Gary Noll put it as $2,000. You have to pay staff to attend the place, nurses, and stuff like that. So $500 to the listeners who give $2,500 is accurate, and that's the way it's supposed to be. Just like if any premium that was paid for at $150, if the premium is worth $50, the listener only gets a $100 tax letter. Okay? So.
This is Mitchell. I'd like to be added to the stack, please.
Mario,
hang on, everybody. Thank you, Berto.
But he gets the conclusion of his conclusion is always wrong.
I'm not next on the stand. But
Jim, you're still here, Jim?
Yeah, let these guys talk. I'll wait. Don't worry about it.
All right. Thanks, Jim. Mitchell Cohen, you're on the stack. Go ahead, Mitch.
Okay, I was.
Hi. Thanks.
I thought I was on the stack after this. And yes.
Well, we haven't gone back to programming yet, Bezerine.
Oh, okay.
Okay, thank you. So just to let people know, we had a team of volunteers that worked together every Monday for 6 years, right? A long time, all volunteers, unpaid. And it was about like 10 or 11 of us, and we worked together. And we sent out premiums constantly. We sent out thousands and thousands and thousands of premiums. And so I'm just criticizing Bob Henley's approach, not knowing the details of what went on at the station all those years. That was from around 2013 to 2018, or something like that, 2012 to 18. And to think that, you know, I'm no fan of premiums, but to think, as I said before, that you can rely on trade union donations only to take the place of the premiums and all the other things, I think is a fool's errand until it's proven that you could do it. You don't do things until they're proven that you can do them on something like this. And it's really important that we go back and, if there were mistakes made in the way the premiums were announced or formulated or whatever, so you correct those, so we do them right. But David Rothenberg's premiums were under attack. Gary Noll's premiums were under attack. There were several Mimi Rosenberg's were under attack. You know, and then they blamed the person in the back room, whose name I will not say, who would make some of the premiums that BAI used on the machines there to duplicate, legally duplicate them, and assume that they were being done illegally. And that's just wrong. It's wrong to assume that unless you prove that that's the case. And it's true that Gary Noll at one point told Bob Henley that, oh, they're doing my premiums illegally. But, you know, where's the proof? They came back and looked, and they didn't find any. There were, you know, I was coordinating the volunteers at the time, and a lot of this is bullshit, you know. And it's, and the Pacifica intentionally did not challenge this before the FCC because they wanted BAI to fail. And that doesn't mean I don't have disagreements with Berthold. Berthold knows that we fought all the time over everything, pretty much. But there's ways of doing things that are constructive. And there was an evaluation of Berthold, the general manager, that was done 4 years ago, 2020. Yeah, and we submitted it by the LSB. We spent a year working on it. It was really thorough. We had progressive steps to take in order to correct the different things that we thought were wrong and how to do that meaningfully. And for Bob to come on and say on the air, just making blanket statements that this was illegal and we were violating the law, and you know, this is just nonsense. And he's really not familiar, to give him the benefit of the doubt, with what went on at the station. And I'm done. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for that, Mitchell. Appreciate it.
Mario, too.
Hang on, Mario. Denise, you're next on the stack.
Yes. I want to say something, and I think that we really, because we're the Community Advisory Board, when we spoke to Bob Henley, we focused on programming and things of that nature. But I think that we really need to let anyone who can speak on the bylaws, because, you see, although he, as Mitchell has said, he speaks very well, he was put here by a group of people who are very problematic for the democracy of all the media and the listeners or the participants who are getting information provided. And as Berto and Mitchell said, no casting no aspersions to you, Mario. We as listeners have to be very careful what we say to make sure that it's accurate. Just prior to your statement before 6 months, the CAB didn't have a presentation. And when Neil said to you, that's not the case. We have to be very careful. And I think right now we need to focus on what's happening in the Pacifica. We may have to formulate a totally different group because the CAB does certain functions. But we're in a lot of trouble when it comes to efficacy and the way the Pacifica people are handling themselves. And I always kind of wonder, if you put a person in, you have certain thoughts about how things are going to ultimately manifest. That you were saying you should not be propagating fraudulent statements for pertaining to actions unless you have absolute proof, because then you can be sued, just like so many times we've been sued and lost money, and that's just to find that the suit was not an accurate one. So we really need to be able to think about, we need to get Jim Dingman on so that he can tell us what they want to do, and we can understand how we're going to have to really get up on our legs and figure out if we have to formulate another group to address how Pacific is trying to destroy really the 99%, you know, listener-sponsored media. And that goes across the board. If they can do it with
us, that's like 3.5 minutes.
I'm off.
All right.
Okay. Carolyn Burden here.
Thank you, Denise. Hi, Carolyn. Listen, everybody, I'm not adding any more names to the stack. We exhausted the stack. And when we come back, Bessarine will be first on the stack, Mario will be second, and Carolyn will be third. Right now, I had already introduced Jim Dingman and the topic he's going to speak to. And Jim, you have the floor. Go ahead.
All right. Thank you. Is my voice coming in okay?
Yes, I hear you good.
So, okay. Neil, point of information, excuse me. How long does he have, 10 or 15 minutes? Or?
Yeah, 15 minutes.
Okay.
I'll try to be brief because we're going to do a town hall tonight where I'm going to go into greater depth on these issues. Several weeks ago, at the National Board, in executive session, we were presented with 10 changes to the bylaws that were essentially a way for the people who were advocating the New Day referendum to jump over the process of having to go to another referendum and essentially pass them in secret and then bring them to the LSBs, which would then approve them. And what they were doing is essentially going to Article 17 of the bylaws, which allows that to happen, except, and keep in mind, you all have to read this, because trust me, I've not read those bylaws as thoroughly as I have in the past 2 weeks. There's a part in there that says if these measures interfere with the rights of the listener members, it is negated. So they essentially were trying to jump over that hoop and bring these bylaws to three LSBs that they control out of five. They control KPFT, KPFK, and KPFA, KPFK, and KPFT. They know they can't pass that in New York, and they can't probably pass it in Washington. So they wanted to do that, and they threatened to go back to court and take us to court over the issue that in New York, the staff had not gone along with the bylaws changes, and hence they questioned how so many people in New York were so, quote, brainwashed, end quote, that they couldn't see the wisdom of essentially surrendering what people had fought for 20 years to have, democracy in Pacifica, because the New Day people were just upset that they couldn't believe that. So anyway, we stopped that from happening that night. And I'm acting now under the provisos of the nonprofit law in the state of California, the whistleblower law, because I feel that this is something that will and probably can lead to the unnecessary expenditure of tens of thousands of dollars in litigation. Now, the next week, we were presented with a bylaw discussion, which essentially would eliminate the ability of having runners-up in the elections, and the runners-up would basically then be shunted aside, that list would be shunted aside, and the decision-making to act to replace people on the board would be replaced by the board majority, wherever that is, either paying attention to the list of people and the runners-up or not. And what that would allow is essentially the three boards that are controlled by New Day sympathizers, in my opinion, to essentially control the situation in perpetuity. At the same time that night, without consultation with the local station board, which is how the bylaws state it, we were presented with an argument that immediately Berthold and Linda must be fired. Now, I listened to Mr. Henley. I'm not going to comment about anything that he said in terms of my opinion about him personally. All I will say is this. No due process was given to Linda or Berthold. No due process was given to Gary Null or Christine Blasdale or off the hook when they were singled out 2 years ago by the people in Berkeley who decided to bring the complaint to the Federal Communications Commission. And no due process was given to Gary to essentially come back and say, well, you know, maybe I'll do it this way or that way, in compliance with the underwriting rules of the FCC. No due process was given to him. Now, what has happened in reality is that from the 1st of June to the 16th of June, as of today, normally, with a 52-week schedule, which we can talk about whether we think it's good or bad, we would have raised upwards of $40,000 to $50,000. Last month, I believe, we raised $90,000. The month before, $100,000. We've only raised $3,400 as of today. Now, of that amount, the bulk of that is David Rothenberg. So that means that every day when people are on the air, they're not raising enough money. And if one wants to talk about the continuity of community, I want to talk about the continuity of paying bills. All right? Because we cannot have a situation where we are only making in 1 month less than 10% of what we normally expect to make with money with listener member donations. Now, it is true, mazel tov, that we have gotten money from labor unions. I must admit that in the past that was also brought in by Mr. Henley. And at the same time, we've got money for national programming, although I would say that people should know that the National Programming Committee of the National Board, which has not been continued under this New Day-dominated board, we were on the verge of starting volunteer national programs that would have been in motion now. That was sabotaged, in my opinion, by those who did not want to do that. So we're left with this situation where the bylaw changes are being pushed at the same time that we have a situation here in New York where we are confronted with a sudden drop of money. I hope, I'll eat my words if Mr. Henley or others can turn it around with a fundraiser. They have no choice but to do one within the next 2 weeks in order to make the nut. And remember, we needed to make about $130,000 a month or $120,000 a month. If Bertel's on the line, he can correct me. And we already were not making that amount of money anyway to the amount that we could actually not be in deficit. So I've always been, and you guys have heard me, I've argued with Bertel, I've argued with everybody about this. You cannot have a sustained situation where you have a deficit, a budget all the time. It's inevitable that that will crash and burn. The last time we had a surplus budget was back at the time before Hurricane Sandy, and that was when we were actually flush. And then, of course, for all sorts of reasons, the program director at the time was discharged. That was Tony Bates. Now, so going forward, how do we rectify the situation we're in right now? It's a tough situation. It is one of the worst situations. It's even worse than after Hurricane Sandy because we don't have the instantaneous support of the station, of the other stations to come in and support WBAI. They're not coming. There's no cavalry of financial aid coming. One of the reasons why there's so much resentment against WBAI over the past 15 to 20 years is precisely that when we were in other deficit problems, we would go in and get money from the national, and that would basically piss off people in Berkeley, piss off people here, piss off people there. That ain't coming anymore. So we're left with a situation as to how to survive here locally. And that means that we're going to have a lot of cooperation. I don't see personally in the next 2 weeks, unless some miraculous thing happens, this is going to change dramatically, and I certainly don't see that we're going to get a incessant flow of money from other institutions, including labor unions, that will allow us to sustain ourselves to the amount of $100,000 to $120,000 a month in revenue. I just don't see that. I could be wrong. If I'm wrong, I will be the first to come up and admit that I'm wrong. So what is another option here? Another option here is that this could be de facto forcing us into a situation where some may say, you know what, and this is my opinion only, We're sick and tired of those bums in New York. We're sick and tired of having to deal with their rebellious, cantankerous nature. And guess what? We can swap and sell the signal and get, at the minimum, $20 million, maybe $25 million for a swap, maybe $50 to $60 million for a sale. Who knows how an analog radio station will sell these days in a marketplace where the National Office of Pacifica for the past 20 years has not concentrated on the most important thing, which is how do we develop programming? How do we integrate Pacifica into social media, into digital media? They have been absent without leave on that issue for the past 20 years. And we still have the basic problem that people can argue why this is the case, why isn't the case. I studied the numbers of all the stations for the past 30 years. We only get 30 to 60,000 people tuning in. There is no way that with that amount of people tuning in, we can depend on simply a situation where one appeals to the narcissism of a couple hundred producers and tells them how great they are. And that they, if they only were appreciated as to how great and wonderful they are, and they are wonderful, they come in and do this for free. Okay? Let's be blunt about that. They do shit for free. But to think that with that amount of people tuning in, we can reach, we can't even do that now, let alone with this kind of disruption going in. So keep in mind, strap your seatbelts in. We're in for a rough ride. That is my wrap.
All right. Thanks so much for that, Jim. Does anyone have any? Jim, can you take some questions?
Yeah, let's talk.
All right. Okay, Maya, you're first on the stack.
Bessarine on this stack.
Bessarine. Who?
Bessarine on the stack to ask Jim some questions.
Yeah. Okay. Anyone else?
You had three people on the stack.
Yeah, I got three people on the stack. Anyone else on the stack? All right, Maya, go ahead. You have the floor, Maya.
Yes, you can hear me, right? Let me up from the speaker. Let me put the other phone on hold because it's creating an echo. I'll be right back.
All right, we're going to wait for Maya to get on another phone.
I'm here.
Okay, Maya. Yeah, go ahead.
It's like you don't even know where to begin. There are consequences to lies, pigeon pole performance, and some of us, and there are more in the community who know about this, okay, where, and Jim recognized it when he, I made a statement about the CPB getting certain information of the lies and fraud and alleged criminal behaviors, right, which I tried to talk about to Linda. I thought she would have said, well, get with me privately, and then she hung up on me. But let me say this. We live in different universes, okay? One project that my contingent was very excited about but is no more is getting inventors, designers, a collective of innovators to maybe in one shot cure your ills. But when you characterize that contingent as a liar, and that, I guess that's routine. And I'm going to wrap it up because there's a long history of women and black women in particular that is routinely dismissed, defamed. And let me just leave it there. I don't want to go over my time, but Jim needs to look at that because he was given some very proprietary information some time ago with two other of the elites, and they chose to say, oh, we can just kick her to the curb. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Maya. Denise, you're next.
Sure. Jim, first thing that I ask is, what can a listener do? That's the first thing.
Denise, can you speak up, please?
The first thing I'm going to ask is, what can the listener do? That's the first thing, the listeners. The second thing, I would like to try to find out, where does Bob Henley stand at pertaining to what's going on by way of Pacifica, particularly they're trying to negate our vote, the listeners' votes, the 99%. So I want to find out where he stands at. The Community Advisory Board is not the one that can do it like that. We can ask for it on, from a justice standpoint. Are you thinking, is there anyone starting anything for, like, a Friends of WBAI, Friends of Listener-Sponsored Media, with us being part of it? You just also said that from a legal standpoint, they removed Linda and Bertel illegally. Is there anyone who's willing to represent them pro bono? Okay, so they can collect some monies and we can show the incorrectness of it and help to slow these people up with all of this illegal activity. And then finally, Bertel was very successful in finding different non-for-profits that could go on the radio and we could get monies. It was said by one legal person that if the monies are designated to WBAI, if we find the public announcement vehicles, that it can go to remove some of our debt. Are we kind of trying to maneuver in that way? And then finally, why do we have to have an election now, okay, and a vote immediately on this, on these 9 or 10 bylaws changes, when most of the general public doesn't even know what the bylaws entail, because it's going to make a great impact on our station. So those are the questions that I have. And just lastly, we need to do some fundraising. Tom is always saying we are in the midst of billionaires and millionaires, and some of them do want to see democracy happen. Some, not a lot, but some. Maybe we should really seriously start to find them and see if we can gather some monies, at least start that campaign. Okay, Jim, can you just kind of – I know I asked a lot, but
– Yeah, I know you do. Well, let's start with the first one, the last one, the issue of reaching out to fat cats. I'm all in favor of that. Of course, that takes a lot of work. And that is where we are suffering because we don't have a development director that we used to have. And so that's a whole kettle of fish to explore, which I'd rather be spending time on than what we're having to do right now. Now, we got to get back to that. And then it also ties into what the listeners can do. The listeners have great power in this situation. They can vote. They are members of the foundation. That's one of the reforms that were made as a result of the fighting against the old national board. So you read the bylaws. Listeners can assert themselves. They can break the chops of guys like me who are at this point directors and, you know, tell us, you know, you guys got to do, you know, you can sort of put our feet to the fire on these things. So that's important for you all to do. And, you know, we will have, tonight we'll have a town hall. If we got to have other town halls to make sure that a lot of people understand this, we'll do it every week as far as I'm concerned. And then we'll make sure that everybody understands these issues and goes forth. People were talking about demonstrations in front of the station. All this kind of thing is going on. People are talking about lawyers to get involved. There is a memo that was authored by Alex Steinberg, which argues that the individual members of the board who decided to go along with these bylaw violations, they open themselves up to be individually sued as individuals. So there's all sorts of things going on in this issue. Now, remind me of the other three things you wanted me to address, Denise.
I was somewhat speaking off the top of my head, but when we had Bob Henley We should have asked, is he willing to...
Okay, willing to support them. Okay, let me start
no,
with that
to
one.
To condemn,
yes.
condemn, you know, Pacifica for what they're doing, particularly about the vote. That's something that can get
right, right. That's
a lot
a very
of listeners
good thing.
Riled
okay.
up.
All right, let me, okay, I would suggest that you guys who are in the station talk to him about that because that'd be interesting. He may not know about that, and I think that would be valuable for him to understand that because he is coming at a time or he presented himself inserted himself into the situation at a time when this is coming up. And so... I personally see them as interlocked. Maybe he doesn't, but I do. And also the issue of what the voter rights are. That's the last thing I think, you know, then you can go back and remind me. The issue of the bylaw changes that they are now proposing that will be voted on, the first one that will be voted on is, as I said, it basically negates the will of the voters who have decided to vote in elections and create a runner-up list. What that allows them to do is negate the runner-up list and go to a majority vote on the LSB to choose who they want. So the will of the voters is negated. And in Article 17 of the bylaws, there is a proviso that says that allows them to do what they're doing. Okay, they can indeed make amendments, blah, blah, blah. However, if it collides with the right of the voter, it negates their ability to do this. And that's going to be where the battle occurs. And probably it's going to wind up in the courts. Who knows? That could be where we're going. Now, is there another issue that you wanted me to address besides
just
the one?
We can refuse to air this election period based on the fact that what we're voting on is illegal. I'm speaking about airing it on WBAI. And
oh, that's an interesting question.
Oh,
that's
good. To them.
That's an interesting
okay.
question.
Okay.
No,
you're going
to... Denise, that's a great question, and I would address it to Bob, and I'd say, look, other
okay.
people have
right.
different points of view about this. Why can't their point of view be in an ad, too? And I would address that to Bob. That's a very good question.
Okay, I will. And when will they
yeah.
post the actual changes for the listeners to review and the bylaws for the listeners?
Correct.
Okay,
yeah, there should
good.
Be debates on this.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you, Denise.
I asked a lot of questions.
All right, thanks, Denise. Thanks, Jim. Carolyn, you want to be on the set?
Yeah,
Carolyn, you want to be
on
the
set? But,
yeah, I know,
Betherine.
You're next.
And
Carolyn,
not being able to speak.
Hang on,
so,
people. Hang on, people. Hang on. Carolyn, do you want to be on the stack?
Yes, I do. Thank you.
Okay. You're going to be after Bessarine.
Thank you.
But yeah. All right, Bessarine. Bessarine, you're next. Go ahead.
Who's after Bessarine?
Yes, I just. Yes, I just.
Carolyn.
This,
Carolyn was the first.
Oh, is Carolyn going to speak or Bessarine? I don't know.
Hang on, everybody. Everyone, please be quiet.
Neil.
Bessarine has the floor.
Neil.
Go ahead, Bessarine.
Neil. When?
Thank you.
And you
no, no one's
interrupting.
Bessarine has the floor, please.
I don't know.
Thank you, Neil. First of all, I just wanted to say what I've been saying all along. Now, I've been on many of these shows, and I do not get to speak at all. It's supposed to be a community thing. How is it that we want listeners, but the listener does not get time to speak on any of the programs? I have to sort of search for a program that allows the community, me, I'm in the community, to speak on my issues. We will not get raising money if we don't address that issue. If it is supposed to be a community service, Jim, why is the community not participating? We can raise money, but we don't have listeners. We don't have listeners because they don't get on the call-ins. I have to really shop around
to get a program that I can call in and say what my business is about. So please address that issue. The call-ins, no show really is allowing me to make a call in. I cannot call these people on the shows. Please address that issue. Thank you.
Well,
thanks, Bezerine. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Go ahead, Jim.
All right, Bezerine, that's a good point. I know that when I was doing the What's Going On segments, several people who are on this phone call, they could come on the phone call and talk. But you raise a very interesting point because we, you know, the Community Advisory Board and the community, they have to be, that's where perhaps there's, we have to integrate them completely. And I agree, there should be shows where the community can talk and do it in an unfiltered way and express themselves. And, you know, I know that the board ops, you know, they keep lists of who calls up all the time, so they try to be fair and let people who don't usually call up, you know, go to the queue. But that's a very important point. I also have argued that the shows in sort of time strips, you know, if I was program director, and, you know, I'm not, but I would make sure that all the different shows in their time slots provide once every quarter, they have a town hall themselves on Zoom or conference call and bring in people like yourself and others to talk to them, to argue with them. Because everything I've always, when I was the chair of the Community Advisory Board maybe, 10, 12 years ago, the last thing I was very happy we started to do was we started to have live events where people could come and talk. And we had one down there at 388 where we had almost 100 people there that day talking about Ferguson. And those kind of things, I think, are very important to do because you get precisely the situation you're talking about. Lots of people want to talk and feel that sense of community with each other with the way that they decide to listen to the station at WBAI. There's literally thousands of people like that. And I think that that's very important to increase the interaction between the producers and the public in general in ways that we don't even imagine right now. And social media allows us to do that. And if you don't know how to do it, we should be willing to teach people how to do it. That's another thing we have to do. We have to teach people and train ourselves how to use Twitter, how to use Instagram. It's not that big a deal, and that is a liberating thing for people to learn how to do that. So I'm 100% in favor, and also bring them on the air in the analog radio.
Yes.
Totally.
Yes.
I agree with that 100%.
And then we can donate, Jim. We can donate. I'm ready to donate right now. But from what I've been hearing is, like, the donations don't go to where I put. If I put, like, for instance, in the Haiti one, I put a donation. I didn't get anything for that donation, not that I really care. But the thing is, where is my donation going? If I put on the count, is my donation going to on the count? So that's very nebulous to me. And I believe every show should be trained, give us 15 minutes so that I can get a listener on and ask that listener right there, what about donation? That's how we get money.
Well, as you know, what is happening right now as a result of that FCC consent decree is that there's a big cultural change in all the stations as to how to raise funds. What we would call premiums are now called thank you gifts. And one of the issues that's being raised is that, you know, I mean, look, all of us watch Channel 13, Channel 21. I understand that radio giving is different than TV giving. People watch public television. They see when they do those rock and roll or they play Les Miserables, they certainly talk more than two times an hour about the thank you gift. And now
yes,
we're talking about, I think there's a something where people are arguing they can talk four times an hour. But the issue of donation now is a whole different ballgame. The issue that Bob raises is where Look, it'd be ideal if we could simply fund the station with the programming as the premium, but in my experience, unless there is a revolutionary change in how things are done on the air and how people listen, that is going to be difficult to be able to get enough money to pay the basic bills that we need to operate on a month. It has not worked for 20 to 30 years that way. I can't see it miraculously changing in 1 month. Again, I could be wrong, but, you know, I've been spending a lot of time looking at this issue, and, you know, just give me different kind of facts that I can perhaps change my opinion about. But, yes, the issue of donating to the shows you want is very important, and they are tracked. Everybody who donates to a particular show, at least Bertolt and Linda, they knew exactly where that money was going and who would support it. And that, of course, is the problem. There are just simply not enough people donating in general. But
thank you
for your donation in general.
All right. Thanks, Jim. We've got to move on with the stack here. Caroline, you're next on the stack.
Neil, can I
ask you
a question? No, hang on. Caroline is next on the stack. Go ahead, Caroline.
Neil, I have a question for you, Neil. May I be recognized?
Mario, you're not on the stack. Caroline is next.
Cool it, baby.
When Jim spoke, I was on the stack, and I was supposed to be after Jim spoke. 1, 2, 3.
You're not on the stack, Mario. You want to be on the stack, you'll be after my yet.
You said to me, what I have on the stack after Jim is finished is Desireen, Mario, and someone else. What happened?
Let Mario speak so we can move
Mario,
on with the meeting.
Mario,
Mario speak. It'll be faster so we can move on with the meeting.
Yeah, well.
No, I'm asking the
Mario,
chair.
You're on the stack now. Caroline is next on the stack.
I have a question for you, but okay.
There's no question, Mario. What are you talking about? Caroline, you're on the stack after my act, okay? Caroline is next on the stack.
That's
Let her
my
speak.
Question. Yeah.
Go ahead, Caroline.
Thank you. I wanted to say I'm sorry I'm not going to be on the CAB because it looks like an exciting time ahead for the members of this committee. But I am happy to be on the LSB, and I hope I can do some good there. Some of the ideas that we heard from Bob, one of them I didn't get a chance to ask him is, why were you brought in at 4 a.m.? What were you told about the AI and the transition that made it necessary for you to be brought in at 4 a.m. in the morning? Deja vu all over again. And I think that we need to make it clear that we have a lot of information that Bob may not have. So I'm suggesting that if this is recorded good, if not on notes, that we put out written suggestions of all these suggestions that come up so that Bob can't say, I never heard about that or nobody ever told me, et cetera. Things that he doesn't know, people here know that he doesn't, people here who think he should know things that he hasn't even thought about yet or has not been told to listen to by whoever hired him. So that's my first suggestion, a written trail. English teachers are like that. I'm very big on a written record, and I think it's really important. Number two, I'd like to have us form a small group. It doesn't have to be part of the CAB, so I could join it. And that is to look at our legal options. The major thing that makes the AI special and that the people in Berkeley are ignoring is a little clause in California code that members of any group like this, a nonprofit organization, members of nonprofit organizations have rights. And our rights are very extensive. People in New York don't even know about those. And I think our legal team has not been adept at representing people on that particular form. So I've been looking, and maybe some of you have links and know people, but I don't, for an attorney in California who's not associated with New Day. Hard to find one. But there must be one who is familiar with that particular clause in the CIPCA code that gives members of nonprofits rights that we just, some of us don't even know about. We have a lot of rights, and one of them is not to be snowed as we are and not to stand for the illegal actions. They are illegal. The Berkeley group, I don't know how else to refer to them, are trying to impose on us. So if anybody is interested or you have any legal connections in California, please give me a call and or email and we'll talk about it. The other thing is we should have another group looking at the PNB rules and do as perhaps Jim Dingman actually suggested, that we look at how members of Pacifica are violating Pacifica's own bylaws. I think the recent attempt to eliminate my rights as a listener to vote and have my vote counted by eliminating the runners-up list is criminal. That's for that alone. So we need to people who want to talk legal talk and bring those people into some sort of action.
You have 0 seconds.
Really important.
Thanks, Carolyn.
All right, put me on the list. Put me on the list again if there's a second stack after this. Thank you.
It's currently 309. I think that's 305. Yeah. That's important to keep note of, okay?
All right. Thanks, Denise. Jim, you want to respond to Caroline's statements?
Yeah, no, those are good ideas.
We got to get them done, right?
Yeah, right, exactly. We're trying to do that in the past 2 weeks, but yeah, you're right. Those are great ideas.
All right, thanks, Jim. Maya, you're next on the stack.
Yes, thank you. I first want to speak to and correct me if I'm mispronouncing your name, Desireen, comments about excluding. We don't even seem to remember AM radio. It's not about the right-wing reactionary and out of the fascism. But it's about the people could connect. That was the essence. The call is always on the line. But let me say that someone seemed to recently suggest another group and pro bono help for someone who is about to be revealed as discriminatory, ignoring allegations of criminality, including perhaps something that might be connected with that vulgarian, you know, falsifying business records, okay, that and being 34 criminal charges. So you guys exist in one universe. But let me briefly say that a positive response, where we're moving forward, there's a site called Temu.com, T-E-M-U. They have things extravagantly, sometimes low prices. And someone, a close friend, sent me like a plated, the eight, what is it called? The eight, Denise, help me out with this, the eight noble paths. It was a whole philosophy of, you know, right conduct, right speech, And what was, there's another 3 points that also rest on that. So I think we might start with there. Thank you. I'm through. Peace and love.
All right. Thanks, Maya. Mario, you're next. You're last on the stack, Mario. Go ahead.
You sure?
Neil, is it too late?
You forgot Laura.
Who's that?
Neil, is it too late to get on the stack?
Oh, yeah, we really have to wrap up this section here. We got to move along with the agenda here because 3:30 is approaching. So Mario, you're next. Go ahead, Mario.
Okay. There's so much here. It's like overload. You know, it's just overload. I'm going to sign off once my time is done in this share. Okay. Putting the second person second, look, the people who have been on the LSB have been on and off the LSB for the last 30 years that I know. They have it down to a system. They have a core group of 200 people or so. They know who to. If you doubt me, they keep getting elected. Okay, so how does that happen? No one else can get in. Now, in 2012, I ran on a whim. I said, let me see how this goes. I did it in spontaneously at the station was down at 110 Wall Street. I about 2 years late, I was called to a meeting because I was the runner-up, and I was supposed to be seated, but they dragged somebody, some old guy that wasn't answering his phone, and they dragged him down to the meeting down there at the theater for the new city is where we had the meeting. And I didn't get seated, and they seated this old guy who was disappeared, and I don't know what happened to him, but he got seated. And he wasn't answering the phone. He was in ill health, and he got seated. 2 or 3 years later, 4 years later, from the cab, we had a guy named, I believe his name was Michael. He used to come to the meetings all the time, and he was very passionate, and he from Boston or something, and he wanted to get on the LSB. So I ran again, and I didn't put anybody second. But what a person should do is put themselves second. I don't know if they could do that, but I left it blank. So Jim Dingman and this guy met with me, and they asked me if I would sign over my my votes to him, and then he got elected. And he proceeded to do not much because he wasn't part of the core group of the LSB. So this is how it goes. I know people should learn from me and not polarize from me, and I get nothing for this. I'm going to work with Bob Hanley to try to improve the station, because if it doesn't work this time, everybody who's talking here, a lot of people, they're part of the problem. You can't fix the problem with the same people who created it. And Bob is sort of involved in that, but he had his hands tied. So, you know, now there's a New York group. I'm going to set everybody straight. One person in the New York group contacted the FCC, and the New York group reached out to the people in California, and they ran with it. Do you understand? One person complained to the FCC about the goings-on, and then it went to California. You understand? That's the truth. That's how it goes. Now, you people want to believe what you want to believe. You know, kumbaya. The station is going to go to the repeater station. You understand? If they don't get more listeners, and you don't help
this
guy, you don't help this guy,
and you got to wrap it up, Mario.
LSB, you're going to support the LSB now against Bob Hanley. You're a fool. The station's going to go.
Your time is up.
You understand? You're a fool, and I'm signing off. And I got to take a break for 2 months. I won't be back for 2 months. This is asinine.
All right, thanks, Mario.
Thank you,
everybody. Jim, do you want to respond to the last couple of speakers?
No, it's okay. We're going to deal with this at 8:30 tonight.
All right, Jim.
They're going to run Bob Hanley out of town again.
Hang on, everybody.
Goodbye.
Wait a minute, Jim. Hang on, everybody.
Could you tell us people. 8:30 tonight?
That's correct.
So that we might tune in?
Tell people how to tune in, Jim.
Pardon me?
Tell people how to tune in.
Well, they have to... I think the Zoom connection... I think there is a phone number there. It's a Zoom account that actually my personal Zoom account, so I don't necessarily have the phone capability on there, but people have figured out how to get on there. I don't pretend to know how to do that by phone, but if
what
you have
the name of platform?
But it's on, it is a WBAI town hall meeting. I am on the committee of the LSB that administers the town hall meetings, and given the gravity of what's going on, we intend to have as many goddamn meetings as we can in order to make sure that people understand what is being dealt with right now, all right? And there's certain things I can talk about. You know, I certainly talked about things that will probably get me in trouble with some people at the board, but guess what? I don't give a damn. Because right now the situation is so severe, and their attempts to violate the bylaws were so flagrant that, yes, I will claim whistleblower status under the laws of the state of California, and they are violating at least 5 or 6 of the bylaws. It's ridiculous. And we want to explain that to the listener members. Everything we fought for 10 years to 14 years, and some people on this phone call, such as Carolyn, were involved with that fight, as was Mitchell. These are the kind of things that they are attempting to throw in the garbage can. And as far as I'm concerned, the only issue that's important to fight about is what kind of programming creates mass audiences under the mission statement of Pacifica. In other words, I don't want to fight for 30 to 60,000 people tuning in. I want to see us have a couple of 100,000 people tuning in every week. Then we won't have these battles over money all the time. But since people want to waste our time with these kind of fights, guess what? I'm a New Yorker. You throw the gauntlet down. I pick it up. I come back at you. That's my attitude, okay? So we're going to have a meeting tonight at 8:30. It's on KPTFX, and you can sit there and tune in. We will be talking specifically about the bylaws issue. Bob, that's a whole other ball of wax. There's just so much I can talk about. He's a salaried employee. I am a director. I cannot get into a lot of things about that. I disagree with some of the things he says. Simple as that, you know. But we'll see. Anyway, so thank
all right.
you so much.
Thank you, all right. Jim.
Thank you, Jim. I appreciate you being on.
Guys.
Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Happy
Thanks.
Father's Day.
All right. Anybody? Can someone tell me what time it is?
3:16.
3:16.
Neil. All right. 3:16.
3:15. Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
We.
One more statement, if I may, brief.
Go ahead, Carolyn.
Yeah, I'm going to call you. People can call me, and I'll give you my phone number in 2 seconds if you have a pencil ready. And I also have an email number. Email is easier. It's burden.carolyn@yahoo.com, burden.carolyn@yahoo.com.
And Carolyn is spelled a certain way. Please spell it, I-N-E or L-Y-N.
Burden, B-I-R-D-E-N. Burden, B-I-R-D-E-N. Carolyn,
no, I'm talking
dot.
About.
Don't forget the dot.
Caroline is. Wait,
give
wait.
Her chance, Maya. Let her give her email, Maya.
Let
please.
Me finish, Maya. Thank you. Burden.
Yes.
Dot Carolyn. C-A-R-O-L-Y-N. At yahoo.com. And my phone number is 212-932-2422. Please make sure there's a name there or else leave a message, because if there's nobody there, I assume it's another fundraiser for the Democratic Party. And I probably won't answer it. So give me a message. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, Caroline, and congratulations for getting on the LSB.
Congratulations.
Well, that's one of the things that I want to work on, is why it took me the entire time that this LSB was elected, when I was eligible from almost the first week, to get on now. That's another issue, and maybe something that the CAB would like to look into, one of the
yes.
rules that we're changing. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Caroline. All right, guys. We're coming up to 3:30 here. Let me see what we can get into.
Other business.
Other issues.
Hello, Neil. This is Jack. I just wanted to point out that what Jim Dingman said is true. KPFTX has the ability to get into that town hall tonight.
Yeah, and I believe that there is a phone number that you can call to get in.
Yes, I'm.
I got into the meeting last week by my phone.
And thank you for your patience, Neil.
All right. Thanks, Jack. Listen, guys, I think what we're going to do is we're going to go straight to Jay on the agenda, which is repeat announcements. And I'm going to do that right now.
No, we never
got to that. We're running out of time. Let me do this agenda item first here. Everyone is welcome to attend the CAB meeting, and you are not required to identify yourself. However, if you wish to become a CAB member, then we need to know your name, because you must be a member of WBAI and you must attend 3 out of 4 consecutive CAB meetings. So is there anyone at the meeting today who has not identified themselves and who wants to become a CAB member? Anyone at the meeting right now?
Neil.
Who's this? Jim Sagerton?
Wow.
Yeah, oh, wow.
I got here late. I apologize. I was taking care of some family business, but I am here, and I would like to have my attendance counted towards becoming a member of the CAB. And I also have some things to say about what Jim Dingman and Carolyn were saying, if there's a chance to do so before the end of the meeting. I realize you're running out of time. I got here late, so I have no objection.
Yeah. All right. Since Jim Sagerton hasn't spoken, Jim, you got a few minutes to speak. Go ahead.
Oh, well, thank you, Neil. I appreciate that, and thank everybody who's here. I did not hear all of – I only caught Bob Henley at the very last few remarks that he was making, so I can't comment on that. But Carolyn asked a question about why it took so long for her to get onto the LSB, and the simple answer to that is that there was a resignation, and she was next in line on the runner-up list. Now, there may be issues with – how people's absences are excused on a regular basis on the LSB that people dispute periodically. But the resignation just became known prior to this last meeting, and so she was next on the runner-up list, so it was her turn to come on. As far as some of the actions that are against the bylaws, I have two things to point out. First is that, and this may have already been mentioned, when a GM is terminated in Pacifica, it's either initiated by the executive director or by the LSB of the station that GM is from. And that's what was bypassed in this situation. The executive director went straight to the PNB with the proposition to fire Berthold. Normally, the program director reports to the general manager, so it should have been Berthold that fired Linda or whoever was going to take Berthold's place, which as an interim would have been Bob Henley. So those firings did not take place in the proper manner. The other thing is someone said that, and it is correct, but Jim Dingman said it a little bit slightly different than the way it is, and that is that bylaws amendments that can be passed by just 3 of the 5 LSBs are those that do not affect the members' voting rights. And virtually all of the proposed bylaws amendments that were coming down from the what we call the New Day group, they don't like being lumped together as quote-unquote New Day, but that's a shorthand that people have developed to refer to them, the group that votes as a block on the PNB. Anyway, these bylaws amendments, virtually all of them affect the voting rights of the members. And in particular, on filling vacancies, there's a system where runners-up are used to fill vacancies. It violates the voters' rights who voted for those runners-up, that for that system to be changed in midstream without going through the proper procedures. And virtually all the other bylaws changes that I saw, they all had some effect on the rights of the voters. And that's the distinction that means it has to go to a vote of the membership. They're trying to bypass that, and it would be illegal. That's all I got for now. I apologize again for not getting here timely.
All right. Thanks for that, Jim. I appreciate it. So where are we on the time now, people?
Currently 3:23.
All right, guys. So it's up to the group here. It's up to the group here as to whether or not you want to extend the meeting past the 3:30. So if someone wants to make a motion to that effect, you're welcome to do so now.
Make that motion to extend the meeting for about 5 minutes past 3:30. I think we can fit everything in that time, possibly.
Yeah, I'd make a motion for 10 minutes.
Okay, 10 minutes. Okay, 10 minutes.
10 minutes.
All right, 10 minutes. Any objection to extending the meeting for 10 minutes?
I make the objection because we have another meeting at 8:30. And
8:30?
Denise, are you objecting?
Yes, I am.
You're objecting.
I will second that objection.
We have a meeting at 8:30. It's very important that we understand what's going on with these bylaws.
Yeah.
Five minutes, then.
Hang on, everybody. Denise, I can't hear anything you're saying. You have to speak up.
I said it's very important that as many people that are able to attend this bylaw town hall emergency meeting pertaining to bylaws. We've been on for quite a while, and we have other personal things to take care of. I object. I don't object to 5 minutes, but I do object to 10 minutes, so it's that is up to you guys. But I do object. I won't be able to stay. I can give the next meeting in July, which will be the 21st of July.
Spend 5 minutes objecting.
All right, we have an objection, so we have to take it to a vote.
Okay, I withdraw.
The motion.
Has been withdrawn. Okay, I withdraw the motion.
Denise, what did you just say?
I withdraw. Would you let me say it, please, so we can get on with this? I am withdrawing the motion.
What motion?
To not extend the meeting. I will be leaving at 3:30, but I do withdraw my particular objection. Everyone else can make your motion.
All right, so you're saying that you're withdrawing your objection.
For the fifth time, yes.
Yeah, okay, all right. Thanks.
Neil?
So there's no objections. There's no objections to extending the meeting, and I think what we'll do is we'll go to other issues, and
excuse me,
we had some people.
Can I just confirm that our next meeting is going to be on the 21st of July?
Yes.
So that when the people that want to leave will be able to say
yes.
It's the 21st. Cool.
All right, so that the 21st
July.
Is the third Sunday in July.
Yes.
It is indeed.
Yes, my
all right.
Other issues.
Neil, may I have a point of personal privilege?
Go ahead, Jim.
Thank you very much. I did not hear what Denise said about the town hall meeting about the bylaws. Was she referring to the same meeting? Denise, were you referring to the same meeting that Jim Dingman was, or is there another one?
That will take place this evening. Yes.
Oh, thank you very much, Denise.
Yes.
I appreciate that.
I will definitely.
All right. Hey, anyone else on the stack after
yes.
My app?
Yes. Tom?
Tom?
Yes.
Neil, I am signing out. This is Bezerine.
All right, Bezerine. Thanks so much for coming.
You're welcome.
All right, anyone else on the stack?
Bye-bye. Thanks all.
Okay, bye-bye, Bezerine.
Thank you,
Neil.
Bye-bye.
You'll have to find a timekeeper because I'm going to leave in 3 minutes.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
I think we'll wind up much faster than that.
All right. Well, I'll be timekeeper here until the end. You're first on the stack, so go ahead.
Yes. Thank you. Everything is always other issues. One becomes at a loss for words. How divided. The community is. That has to be addressed. So, as I suggest, just personally, everybody might, in terms of look at the philosophy of Buddhism, the Eight Noble Truths, and the three, you know, the foundation of it all, because what I'm hearing is we're in so many different universes, and I'm mapping it by a bureaucracy project I do, and it's like it's not good in this particular time. We saw what happened in Europe in terms of the fascists coming to power, essentially. So we need to come together. Let's start with just personally. Timu has excellent metal places. I got two of them, or I was sent two of them, gifted. And we really have to be together, which we are certainly not. Thank you, Neil. Thank you, everyone. I'm through. Hello?
Hello?
Neil? Quite 3:30. Hello, Neil. Well, anyway, you want, on other issues, if Neil is clocked off, basically, I want to congratulate Jim Sagerton, is now a member of the CAB today, as is Jack DePalma, because they both attended 3 out of 4 meetings. Welcome to the CAB. Now, Mitchell Cohen. You're welcome. And Mitchell Cohen sort of didn't make it because he didn't make 3 out of 4. But all I can say, the amount of things that he has done on his listserv, the amount of information he puts out about COVID-19, about Ukraine, about every other issue that's important and some other more human interest is incredible. I would just suggest that everybody contact Mitchell Cohen at his email address, and that would be here it is. I'm sorry. You have Mitchell, M-I-T-C-H-E-L, Cohen at mindspring.com, and ask to be put on his listserv. The amount of information he puts out in connection with progressive causes and BAI and Pacific stuff is incredible. I would suggest that you contact him and ask to be put on his listserv. He contributes immensely to about everything that's going on. He could be added to the CAB at any future point unless you show up a couple of times. But congratulations to Jack DePalma. Congratulations to Jim Sagerton. And congratulations to Mitchell Cohen. Congratulations to Mitchell Cohen for everything he contributed over the years and continuing to contribute. And that's what I wanted to say. The next meeting is July 21st.
Can you say the email slowly, please? I didn't get. I got Mitchell.
Okay. Mitchell, M-I-T-C-H-E-L, Cohen. He's going to do over to his – excuse me. I'm sorry. I'm just trying to get over his name here. Son of a gun. Yeah, Mitchell Cohen at mindspring.com. You'll be doing yourself an incredible favor. So the next meeting is on the 21st. It will be handled by Maestro Conference Calls, and it's 3:31. So I think we'll be able to get a little bit of rest, go to the bathroom, and have something to eat, and then try to get back around 8:30 to Jim Dingman's meeting. And thank God for all of you. Thank God for all of you. So have a good day, rest of you. Happy Father's Day to that applies to, and God bless you all.
Happy Father's Day, Tom.
Okay, thank you.
I suggest everyone take a course on how to address personal issues.
Am I still on the stack?
Yes, you are.
Oh, am I next?
Yes.
Oh, thank you. Is Andre Ward still with us?
Maybe.
Yes.
Great.
Oh, Mr. Ward is still with us?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Wonderful. Mr. Ward, first, and I've said this several times during the CAB meeting, I want to thank you for your work, particularly the mandatory must-listen-to program, The Count.
Absolutely.
You've done just an extraordinary job with that program. You are doing an extraordinary job with that program. I also want to thank you for your prior work at the Fortune Society, another example of your outstanding leadership. I also want to thank you, and I've mentioned this during several CAB meetings. I want to thank you for your presentation at Fordham on the panel. Maybe it was several months ago or maybe a year. Outstanding presentation. I also want to congratulate you for your new leadership at John Jay. In my community, what I try to do, particularly with the various individuals on WBAI, I try to share their leadership and ways for people to contribute to WBAI. And what I've done is I've listed, I know you're no longer with Fortune, but I've listed I've consistently listed Fortune as an entity that people can contact to make donations. Is there, I don't know how successful they are, because before you left, I was trying to get in contact with someone, whereas we could make this an easy flow. Is there someone to contact to make this, make transfer of property from one area, one person to another person a lot easier? And that's donation. If someone wants to make donations and maybe continuous donations, is there an individual we can contact for that to happen? Mr. Ward, are you with me?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, I thought I heard him respond before, a couple of minutes ago.
Oh, I didn't hear his response.
You know, he didn't respond, but I remember when are you here? He said, yes, yes, and that's all I heard. But I have a feeling if you go to On the Count, you could probably get an email address where you can, write him an email about it, possibly, and ask that question.
Okay, because I attempted to do that while he was on the air, instead of just constantly just putting in, for instance, there's a network, and constantly putting in just the Fortune Society, and, you know, there sometimes you're just,
right, you want a specific person or a number. Yeah, definitely.
Right.
Somehow, I can just try to contact him and get that specific person and number, and might be able to follow through and get the information that you could use to help people that could use help. And I think that's probably doable, yes.
Okay, so
Neil,
pardon?
Neil, is Bruce still on the Bruce Griff? He hasn't said anything.
I think he checked out a long time ago.
Yes. Okay, so that's what I will try to do. If I get the time, I will try to, instead of just consistently just putting in a Fortune Society number, I will try to take the time to get a direct person. I've done that before
exactly.
Mr. Ward officially left. Okay, so thank you so much, Tom. Happy Father's Day to
those.
You
too. I'm not a father, but I'm just glad to be still walking around. And all I can say is I'll maybe see you at the next meeting. And the contact information is on that the website, WKPFT, the telephone number and the Zoom number. So have a good relaxation between now and then.
You too. Stay well. Thank
care.
You for your work. Stay well,
right,
everyone.
Right.
Enjoy.
Bye.
Bye.
And
thanks, all. Bye bye.
Hello, anyone still at the meeting?
Neil.
Yeah.
There's a crank who's snoring, and there's me who's just getting ready to hang up. Did you get to hear Laura reaching out to Andre Amani Ward? Andre Ward?
Yeah, but I take it that Andre wasn't on the call anymore.
No, but the crank said he was. Gosh, I had something to tell you. Have a great Father's Day. No,
all right, everybody. Thanks so much for coming to the meeting. I really appreciate
and,
it.
And, Neil, go ahead. Who's there? Somebody else was trying to...
Hi, this is a good... Good luck to digest. We'll talk later with maybe Jim Dingman later on, I hope.
All right, everybody.
Yeah.
Like I said, Neil, thank you.
Yeah.
All right, thanks. Darryl,
I really appreciate how you run the meetings. I think that everybody needs to take a course in how to calm themselves down, including me, and stay focused on the things at hand. We had an opportunity to do a number of things here. However, if you were able to listen to this meeting, which had a lot of information that was important to the situation that we're currently addressing, you could hear the hostility about, why don't you listen to what I'm saying? How come? Especially with regard to Mario, who feels like he is always under attack, even though his behavior, once again, there is there are courses, I think it's like $10, or I think you get three courses for like $50 or something like that, in non-confrontational meetings, in which, you know, we just get a grip on. I mean, I understand when I get up and off topic, not even off topic, but get excited about stuff, but this, we're trained to personally attack one another, that keeps the message, even when we agree with one another, from being cordial. I'm not sure as to whether you experience it that way, but that's how I experience it. And that's why folks, these meetings don't really work as well as they could, because we're all bound up in our own stuff. What do you think?
It would be good if people could take a course on, you know, how to behave in a meeting. But
I'll look for it, Emil, and I'll send you.
I think most everybody was doing pretty good at the meeting, though.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah,
I'm not saying they were, but I'm saying. Go ahead, yes, Laura.
I'm sorry if I interrupt your thought. One requirement I would suggest for a board, because is board training, and there is board training available, it really helps a lot. Second, I will reiterate this over and over again. We need to have that Excel spreadsheet. It's not just the CAB, but it should be a requirement for every WBAI meeting. Every suggestion should be put on that sheet. What we're seeing, and this is what I wanted to present, we're seeing each concept revisited over and over again, and it's just talk. If you took that concept from the beginning, from its conception, all the way throughout completion, we will begin to see success. If you go to the meeting tonight, I can assure you, you're going to hear concepts that were visited maybe a year ago, years ago. But if you take that small concept and you work it through, it will be successful. I know because of COVID and all that came from COVID, we are experiencing a very emotional period in our history. And you know what? This might seem terrible, but I'm going to play the other side when it comes to Mario. Thank God this is a vehicle for individuals who are tense. Not the meeting should be for an opportunity for someone to vent. But for a lot of people, this might be the only outlet. And for certain people, if they don't have this outlet, their condition might end up somewhere else. But this should be a professional board. And I say this, because of WBAI's dilemma, if that's how you want to, that's just a safe and convenient word. If it were an entity generating an enormous amount of money, a lot of what we are seeing, people, and that includes people, would not have a voice and would not be on these boards. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Laura. And guys, I think we've come to the end of the meeting here. So,
that was just an off-the-record statement. It wasn't part of the official meeting.
Okay. All right. Well,
meaning,
I have to...
Tom closed out the meeting. Neil, Tom closed out the meeting before you came back.
Before what?
He closed out the meeting before you came back on the line.
Right, we were just chatting. The
I have no idea how I got... can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I have no idea how I got knocked off the call. I was able to hear everybody, but I guess you guys couldn't hear me. And what also happened is that I lost my volume on the phone. And so everybody, like this conversation right now, is coming over very low on the phone. Even though the phone's up to my ear, I can just barely hear it. And so my phone may have broken. I have no idea what happened. But at any rate, thank you again for coming to the meeting. And happy Father's Day, Daryl.
Not me. I don't have any.
Well, right, saying, color, you can color them father. There's a song that accompanies
yep,
that statement. Everyone's a father.
Yep.
Everyone's a mother.
I definitely agree with the mother.
Pardon? Well,
I think I definitely agree everyone's a mother.
Yes. It's that paternal instinct in humans and the other part of those who occupy this universe. Things.
Yeah.
Animals.
All right. Thanks again, everybody. I got to go.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Enjoy.
Laura.
Be well.
Happy Father's Day, Neil. Peace.
Thank you.
Peace,
thank
Laura.
Thank you.
You too, Daryl. Be well.
Amen.
All right. Bye-bye, guys.
Bye.